둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I was like, it's either light or dark out there, isn't it?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode and the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. That way you get all the new interviews that we do sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to give this series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. And we've had some great guests on lately, including Sheryl Crow, Desi Leidick of The Daily Show, The Jesus and Mary Chain, The Veronicas, John Bradley starring in Three Body Problems, Adrian Linker, the lead singer of Big Thief, Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect, Chris Robinson of The Black Crowes, Luke Hemmings from 5 Seconds of Summer, actor Nick Robinson and actor Tom Payne, director Johan Renck, Joe Keery from Stranger Things and Fargo, and our recent 900th episode special, featuring Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Gracie Abrams, Michael C. Haw from Dexter, Dolly Parton, actor Michael Shannon, Sarah Silverman, and Shelley Hennig. Again, that's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actress Danielle McDonald. We're going to be talking about The Tourist, Season 2 of The Tourist, out now on Netflix. Co-starring Jamie Dornan as a victim of a car crash with amnesia, who, along with McDonald's Helen Chambers, tries to piece his life back together as he slowly realizes that his past may be something best left behind. Danielle's going to tell us what it was like playing the same character for the first time in her career, being, as she says, genuinely terrified during certain scenes in this latest season, and the trust she built with Jamie Dornan and the other actor, Connor McNeil. Let's see, Danielle's going to go on to discuss the importance of the indie movie scene that she got her start in, starring in the music video for a Jelly Roll, recently seeing Blink-182 in concert, dancing to Billy Joel's Piano Man in a darker scene of this season, and where she'd like to see the series go from here. You're going to get all that and more as we're talking Season 2 of The Tourist, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Danielle McDonald.
Hello, how are you?
It's so great to talk to you because, for one, like many, many, many people, I have just been sort of obsessed with what's going on with The Tourist, and especially not knowing what to expect from a second season of it. I know we're here and I can throw you all the compliments, but I seriously even had more fun on this season than the first season.
Yay, I'm glad. I feel like it's so different. I feel like people are either like, oh yeah, I responded more to season one or season two. It's like, they're just wildly different.
They are. And they're very, very different. I would love to hear about the process, because as far as I understand, like, you originally thought this was going to be a limited series. Like, it's not season one, it's just The Tourist. And then what happens?
Then it found a big audience in the UK, I guess. It was, I think it was the most watched show of 2022 in the UK, I guess. Yeah, it was 2022. It came out a couple of years ago. So it was one of those things where all of a sudden it was like, oh, they want another season. We're like, but we didn't think that was even a possibility. And then it just kind of happened. I don't know. The writers one day were like, kind of wrote a pilot. I don't know, for season two, what do you guys think? And we're like, yeah, we would. So then it happened. So
it must be interesting from your point of view, actually seeing it grow, because now, of course, you know, that happens, and then the UK thing happens, and then the American thing starts happening. I think with any other campaign, you'd be long be done talking about this. And here we are.
I know, it's so strange. I think it was one of those things where Netflix ended up acquiring it. And so they dropped season one in, February or something. I think it was February. And all of a sudden it found an American audience as well. And we were like, wow, that was unexpected, but very, very cool. Like very, very cool. And now season two has just dropped. And like out here, it dropped a few months ago in the UK and Australia. So it was just another one of those things where we're like, wow, we're still talking about The Tourist. Even though it's been 3 years since I left for the first one. So it's kind of wild. Yeah.
And still taking over your life at the moment?
A little bit. I just finished filming another series in Australia, actually. And so I came back only a week ago now, and I went straight kind of to New York. And so it's been this, I finished that job and I was like, okay, I'm back into the tourist world. And then, yeah, so it has kind of just been like permeating my life for the last few years, for sure. Not a bad way. Definitely not in a bad way.
Sure. Yeah. I've got lots of specific questions about The Tourist too. But with that in mind, though, it's like, looking back even on your career over the past decade, and you know, you were part of all these great Sundance films that it kind of happened. And then The Tourist happens. And I know something like this, it's like, geez, when it happens, and you just grab onto it. But I was curious about that. Like, are you still finding some creative freedom to get out there and still do some of those things like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I make it a priority too, in a weird way. I think I started in indie film. Like I really did. I kind of got my start with indies. And so I will always love them. That's never going to change. I like kind of the crazy schedule of filming an indie movie and having not much of a budget. So I hope to be able to do them kind of forever. You know, I'm sure they'll be scattered here and there, as is everything with this industry, but yeah, I will always have a love for them. And I always want to kind of be able to keep doing that. But The Tourist is just, it's been another different kind of role for me. It's been another different kind of genre for me. And that's been an incredible thing. But I think choosing projects, it's always about getting to try different things and getting to try different genres and different forms. Like, this is the first, it wasn't meant to be an ongoing, like you said, but this is technically the first time I've ever brought back a character in any form. So that's really wild to me. And that's a whole new experience in and of itself. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I would love to hear. So what was that experience? Because here, obviously, you have a lot of character growth, you know, from where, you know, she was a bit of a doormat at the beginning of the first season and found her way out of that. Like, what was it like to revisit a character and build upon it?
It was a totally different experience, honestly. I mean, I hadn't played this character for 2 years when we came back for season two. And on top of that, everything was different. Like, we had different directors, we're in a different country, we had a different crew, we had a different cast. Jamie and Greg were really the only familiar things, and the writers, of course, but they're not on set with you every day. So everything else was really different. And it was kind of a wild experience, because what Helen's going through, I was kind of also going through, because I'm like, I'm in a totally different world doing the same character as well. So in a weird way, it kind of helps, because you are out of your depth and out of your element, and you're just trying to figure it out as you go. But it was a really incredible experience, just a totally different one than season one, which is I don't think that's how ongoing series usually are. I think you usually go back to like the same place and a lot of the same crew. And so I know it's different in that regard. So I don't even know if I could say that I've really done that experience, you know, of like an ongoing thing, but it was really fun. It was just a totally different experience.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Danielle McDonald.
You know, so a lot of it's on the page, of course.
Yeah.
But with what you do with it, with what you bring to it, how you bring it alive. I mean, how do you leave the breadcrumbs to make sure you are tying back to that person that we got to know for that first time?
I mean, that was something I really, really considered, because I came into season two and I was like, Helen's like a whole different person. Like, she's immediately kind of losing it. She's fighting with Elliot, which... She's like not trusting her gut instinct, which is kind of the one thing that she did heavily rely on in season one. Even when she's been kidnapped, she's like, no, I trust that you're a good guy. And then in season two, she's like, well, I know that you're a good guy, but I'm not trusting you all of a sudden, because we have doubts and insecurities in relationships. It happens. It's life. It's part of life. None of us are perfect. We can't always figure it out. So her whole world is turned upside down. And I was like, how do I bring the same character when all the circumstances are just totally different? And I don't know, you just try and figure it out. You talk with the director, and you just, I don't know, a lot of it is also trust in yourself, because the circumstances are so different. And, you know, I originally established the character with Chris Sweeney on season one, and he wasn't on season two. So it's also that weird thing where I was like, I don't have him to like keep me in check either, which is kind of a strange situation. So you really do rely on yourself. And then when I had scenes with Jamie, because we didn't really have many scenes together until episode like four, when we started getting to work together, we were like, oh, this dynamic, that feels so much more familiar. Like, we know this, we know their dynamic, even if there are problems, we get it. And that was really, really nice, actually, because I think that helped me feel way more grounded in the character as well, because it's just familiar.
Yeah, seeing you guys separated the whole time. And then there was like the basement scenes.
Yeah.
Did you have to go somewhere internally for those?
I mean, yeah, you kind of have to for anything emotional, you know what I mean? There's always like a certain element of that. But I think... Connor McNeil, who plays Rory Slater, he's a very, very good actor. And so he would kind of just do these monologues, like 2-page monologues about his wife, and he'd be just tears falling from his face. And I'm like, oh my God, you're just in it because he's so good. And that's really helpful. Let me tell you, it's really helpful. And then on top of that, like, we got along so well. He's a good friend of mine now. And there's a moment where he kind of has to scare me. He yells at me when I'm on the floor. And I genuinely was terrified. I was like, I trust you 100%. And like, you are my friend. And we're going to laugh about this in about 3 minutes. But in this second, you are truly terrifying. Like, you're really, really good. And so that was, it was kind of great, because then it just comes from the truth of the circumstance in a way, you know. But then there is also that underlying trust. So you know that you're not actually in trouble, which is always helpful. And also, I was actually handcuffed to the oven, so that also weirdly helps, because it's a physical struggle. I'm like, well, I can't actually move that much. Like, I actually can't grab this like the key and stuff. So you actually kind of get yourself in the elements of it. But yeah, you definitely do. Like, it's dark what's going on. It's really dark. It's very heightened.
And so, seeing him switch on and off between the nice guy, the nice cop. But there's so much, like, I knew, you know, as a viewer, and I think a lot of people, you get it right away that this is going to be a darker season. I mean, that pig at the beginning really sets it up. And what's with Elliot in bathrooms? You think we can continue that? Like, if you get to continue that, I'd love for that to be a thing, I guess.
I know. I can't remember if it made it in. I don't know if it made it into the season. Oh, no, it didn't. They actually ended up cutting it. But there was a line about he asks to use the bathroom before he shaves off his beard. And he's like, you don't have like a key or anything for it, do you? Like they brought back the line, but I think that scene ended up getting cut because, you know, the episodes are too long. Certain things have to go. So that was one of them. Yeah.
Or not long enough. I don't know.
That's true.
Your old report, you and Jamie, as you were kind of talking to, and it's interesting. And I don't know if it's anything different from any other, because I know a lot of what you do, it's all about your scene partner. You know, everything is either heightened or flattened because of your scene partner, but watching the chemistry you all have, but seeing how you've got to play against someone with at once no history and tons of history at the same time, does that change how you do your job? As an actor, not as the character, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, not really for me. I think for him, it's hard because in that sense, I think in season one, you know, he was saying it was a little bit easier because he has no knowledge. So it really is just in the moment, what am I thinking or feeling as the character that he's decided to be? But I think in season two, it is hard because he's learning all this stuff about his past, but then he has his own separate past of like this past year and a half now. And so I think it was actually quite far more complex for him this season. But with Helen, I don't know, it comes back to the same thing. Like it's what you're giving each other in the moment. And I think that's at least how I approach it. I think a lot of actors have different methods. A lot of people have different ways that they approach things. For me, it's knowing the character really well, knowing the circumstances and doing all the prep work. But then on the day, I mean, I already know the information, so it's just what you're feeling in the moment, what you're giving each other. Having trust with the people on set, though, I think that's number one for me. Like, I luckily, Jamie and I already had built-in trust from season one, so it was very comforting just getting to be in a scene with him again because it was easy. But honestly, even like the camera guys, instantly I was like, hey, what's up? You're going to be my face when I have to be like emotionally distraught. Let's become buddies. And so you do, like, you get to know sound and the grips and the camera team because they are in your personal space at your most vulnerable moments, the same way the actors are. And so for me, that's like something that I need to feel comfortable with instantly. So that's a big part of it for me, just feeling comfortable in the space so that then you can let the moment feel normal and natural and not be like, there's a bunch of people staring at me. That's a big one for me.
Yeah. And I can imagine, especially when you're, you know, in a country far away from what you're used to, which by the way, I mean, MacDonald, do you have ties to Ireland?
Scottish.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, really? Nice.
I should have known that. I don't know those things. I don't know much about it.
No, I think it's both countries, but yeah, for me, I think my grandpa did like my family history before he passed away and go back to like the Scottish Isles, but I think my family came over on like the first fleet. So yes, probably instead of a bunch of convicts, essentially, Scottish convicts. So that's my family history on my dad's side. That's
the Australian. Man, the history of Australia, I forget that part of it. I forget that part of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, every country, I think, has a little bit of a dark history. Australia does, too. It's all relative.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Danielle MacDonald. I've spent a lot of time lately. You're my fourth Australian interview in a week and a half.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I had one of the guys from 5 Seconds of Summer, Luke Hemmings.
You had Luke?
Luke.
Funny. Wow.
He was just on here. And Grace Cummings. I talked to her.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. The third one, that was New Zealand. I did the thing you're not supposed to. It had Neil Finn.
Oh,
Crowded House.
You're mixing New Zealand and Australia. How dare you? You'll get in trouble for that one.
I know.
I won't get you in trouble, but some people really. Yeah.
Speaking of musicians, you've spent, you did the music video for Jelly Roll, right?
I did. Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I don't even know how that happened. It was really quite bizarre, but I think my agent, I don't know if we have a connection with agencies, but my agent reached out and was like, I just feel like this would be something you're interested in. And I was like, yeah, I am. I heard the song and I was like, absolutely. I want to do this just because I love music. I've always loved music videos. I'm really sad that music videos aren't what they used to be. Like, I used to wake up on Sunday morning and watch Rage and like all the music videos, the countdown. I love that. I still watch music videos. But I heard the song and I was like, oh, this song is like crushing. It's beautiful. I want to be a part of it. And I heard their idea for it. And I instantly was like, please, please use me. So that was just really fun. I think he's an incredible artist with an incredible story. And he's like reaching a lot of people, which in a really amazing way. So I, yeah, was very fortunate to get to be a part of that. Had a lot of fun, filmed in Nashville for a few days. Yeah,
I agree with you too. I mean, child of the 80s, teen of the 90s, and music videos was, because I talked to my, I have a 16-year-old son, and I talked to him about this, about how, you know, there is decades of songs where when I hear them, I can't separate what they look like. And I know that becomes important, you know, for anyone who is watching them. Like, you get to be a part of that now, that sort of dimension.
Oh, I know, which is so cool to me. Like, I grew up in the 90s, like a child of the 90s, but like early noughties. I feel like that was a big, big time for music videos. And like, especially like pop punk, I just went to like the Blink-182 concert in Sydney a month ago. Had the time of my life. Was genuinely on set. I've never done this before, by the way. Like, I go to work and I go to work. But I went to work that day and there was a chance I wasn't going to get off in time. And I made sure to let the director know early that day, there is a concert that I really, really, really want to go to tonight. And he ended up getting me off in time and I cheered. I was like, yes, I would not. I missed a concert the week before. I wouldn't normally say something, but I actually saw Blink-182 when I was 12 in 2004. It was the first concert my parents let me go to without them. Like, my older sister was there, by the way. They didn't just like send their 12-year-old off to a concert, but they were waiting at the door to pick us up, and they made me promise, me and my friends, like, to not go in the mosh pit, and we didn't. We sat in the seats. We were good kids. But it was the first time they like trusted me to do that, and it was so much fun. And now it's 2024. It was exactly 20 years later. It was in Sydney, the same as when I first saw them. So I was like, I have to get to this concert. And it was incredible. It was so good. I went with my older sister again. So I was like, oh, it was great.
I love hearing that. I haven't caught the reunion shows, but I've only heard great things about it. You know,
it was so good. I genuinely wasn't sure how it was going to be because, you know, it's been 20 years and they didn't play together for a long time, but it was actually like strangely emotional. And I feel like they've really been practicing. I was like, there's like some little runs in there. I was like, wow, look at you guys go. I was like a proud mom, which is ridiculous.
Same old dick jokes though. That's what they've got, the same old dick.
Yeah, that will always be there, but you can't expect anything else. You know, it's like, that'll always be there.
You just jogged my memory. I know why I was waffling on the Neil Finn thing too, because it was a fourth one. I talked to the Veronicas recently. And
oh, wow. That's cool. I grew up with them as well. Come on. When Forever came out, I was like, this is so cool. I remember it all. Yeah. Like I said, I genuinely, like, I used to buy the DVDs of music videos. So gosh, I love a concert. I love a concert. I love a music video. I love music. Anytime I get to do anything that relates like film and music is so exciting to me. So it's very, very cool.
And I'll quickly tie it back into The Tourist season two, because The Pretenders, don't get me wrong, Listen to Your Heart, Billy Joel's Piano Man, Focus, Hocus, like, it's a pretty good soundtrack this season.
It's amazing. They told us we were going to be doing our dance to Piano Man. I was like, no, really, what is it to? And they're like, no, actually, Piano Man. I was like, there's no way that you were able to get those rights to that song. There's no way. They did. And I was like, this is too cool. And Connor and I were practicing. I was like, I'm just still astounded that I get to be on camera while this is playing, like, legally. This is wild. I don't know how else to explain it. But that was actually really cool. Getting to dance to Piano Man on film. I was like, this is so cool to me. I mean, very weird scene, but very, very cool. Yeah.
And the dance, of course, and Jamie getting his own dance thing at the end. It's there's some nice moments. Even in the darker, weirder moments, they're nice moments.
That's the best thing about Jack and Harry Williams, the writers, the creators. They always bring it back to levity at the end. You know, they're like, here's something really dark and just throw a joke in there. And you're like, I like it. It feels very Irish, Australian, British humor, which I grew up with. So it was actually really refreshing. And I love that kind of dark humor. So it works for me.
Do you have an opinion on where you would like to see it go from here, God willing?
I mean, It was never meant to have a season two. You know, the fact that we had a season two was just like this really cool gift that we didn't expect. And it was really, really fun and a whole new experience. And I learned honestly so much on this one. So I can't imagine there being a season three when I'm like, it wasn't even meant to be a season two. But like on the wild chance that, you know, like say 10 years down the road, they're like, should we just do a season three? You never know. Crazier sure. things have happened sure. genuinely. I guess it would depend where we're at in life. But yeah, I mean, I think it would definitely have to be a new country. I think it would be honestly better like kind of years down the road when enough time has passed that you could actually create like a really kind of dynamic story of what's happened in between. It's a whole new history. But yeah, I don't know. I think it should be somewhere like really wild, like Iceland or somewhere just totally different visually. Because I feel like every country becomes a massive character in it. Australia is really like the outback, the red of the dirt. And then Ireland was just very green or gray, you know, because it rains a lot. And and so I feel like it'd be really cool to see something entirely different from those.
And then you both get to be tourists, of course.
And then we both get to be tourists. It'd be but great.
I also love that you're, you know, if you want to, you're just picking places that you might want to go to vacation.
I know it was quite funny because when it came to season two, they were tossing around like Canada and all this stuff, and I was like, what about Ireland? Because like that'd be really cool to film in Ireland. And Jamie was like, what about Ireland? Because I'll be really close to my family, won't have to move them halfway around the world again, and also he's from Ireland. So it was actually one of those really cool things where they're like, yeah, that would be cool, and it's just very much its own landscape. So then it ended up being there, and I think we were all like, yeah, it's cool. So
I so much enjoyed this. I am hopeful. I'm hopeful for Iceland or wherever. I'm on board. I've got my full trust in you all now. You've you know, I'm invested emotionally. I need this.
Good to know. I'll let them know.
Congrats on all the success that you got from this. And I so look forward to seeing what you have next. And, you know, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it too.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My thanks to Danielle. Season two of The Tourist is now playing on Netflix. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out this episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. You get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us again at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to give a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. Again, that helps so much. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows feature classics from Dinah Washington, Soul to Soul, Tom Petty, Marshall Crenshaw, Soul Coughing, Stillwater, Gorillaz, Wilder Woods, and Warren Treaty, Rage Against the Machine, The Smashing Pumpkins, David Bowie, Danielle Ponder, Mumford & Sons, Kings of Leon, The Soft Boys, Prince, Beth Gibbons from Portishead, and my interview with Crispin Mills of Coolest Shaker. Just an example of what you get every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, stay around. Thanks. Bye.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.